Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church Belfast.
Remember I said last week, you don't face the world as you would like to think you are or who you want to be. You face the world as who you are. That's the truth. That's why grace is so fantastic. That's why we are a church of grace, because you can't face the world and thrive in it pretending to be somebody else. You've got, you know, and at church, we're pretty good at that at times. We're pretty good at going, well, it's almost like sometimes we go, I would like to be this. And so, and then it doesn't work. Grace actually says, come as you are. What's real, and allow the Lord to show you in your heart where you need to grow in grace, where you need to take steps of faith, and then face the world that way, right? Because if you don't do that, if you're living kind of inauthentically, I guess you're going to come unstuck at some point. It's not going to work. And that brings pressure into our lives. Because the truth of it is, what I've found under grace is that there are lots of people who have received grace, but they haven't moved past that initial stage of actually, now I've received, what does the Lord, you know, expect, and what does the Lord want to see in me? I've used the example, if I'm still wiping Sophie's nose at 21, then Houston, we've got a problem. Yeah? Because it's fine when we're kids, but it's not okay as we get older. And so the thing is, it's really important that you really tune in to the heartbeat of the whole series, because what I'm going to speak on this morning is going to be the biggest way that turns people off. And, you know, it's funny, in this church, we always say you never hear about money before you've heard about Jesus. Isn't that right? But this morning, I need to help you with something, because time and time and time again, it's almost like when we say, how do you get to the root of it? You know, in our lives, the root of all our sin, if you like, is condemnation. Do you get that? Our hearts condemn us. And so I said last week that every fear we have is rooted in not trusting the Lord. So when you see a manifestation of stuff which is in your life, if you want to peel it right back, it's because actually we're not trusting the Lord. Why do we not trust the Lord? Because there's a root of condemnation in our hearts. That's why grace comes and absolutely goes to the very center of who you are, because at the core of it is condemnation. That's why we say there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Yeah? So when you're condemned, what that means is I can't receive, because condemnation means I'm guilty and I'm due a punishment. So how can I ever receive from the Lord? So therefore, my only other option is put it on my own shoulders and carry it myself. Now, when it comes to this morning, one of the things I want to say is that when it comes to finance, all right, and this is where we have to grow up, all right? And I am constantly amazed, even at myself at times, about how this is an issue which the Lord keeps bringing me back to. And keeps showing me the layers in my own heart, because there's something that we understand about human beings, and it's the way that we are primed and the way that we're actually made. And the world understands this full well too. There are needs that you have, and I actually believe they're God, they're part of the God nature in you. Do you understand that? And so I don't think that they're wrong. I think it's part of what makes us human. I think under the fall, they've been twisted. But what we do understand is that our behavior, all right, and how we put ourselves sometimes under pressure outside of the grace of God is driven by some things which are very primal to us. Those things are the need to be secure, all right? We want to be secure. We want to have some sense of today, tomorrow, like I'm talking about physically. I want to be provided for. I want a roof over my head. I want to make sure that my children are looked after. I want to make sure that I can pay the bills and put the heating on and have food in the cupboards. Everyone say amen? Nothing wrong with that, okay? And on top of that, we have another need. Once those kind of needs are met, on top of that, there's another need in people, which is about being psychologically or emotionally safe. Okay, we want to make sure that we're okay with people. We don't want to put ourselves into places where we're consistently being hurt. Or, you know, we want to make sure that around us, we're emotionally safe. Does that make sense? They're very strong drivers of behavior. And that's why when we receive Jesus, he goes right to the center of us. Because all of those drives and needs and wants, which are okay, are actually met in the gospel. And when they're not met in the gospel, they're met in you. And when they're met in you, the result is pressure. And the result is an increasing weight and burden on you. Because you're continually making decisions, not from your position as a son, but there's these needs that you have in your life, and it's almost like if I can't trust him with them, if I've heard grace, but I haven't yet stepped in faith into that which grace has provided, then it just keeps coming back to me as, well, you better look after it. You better make sure you're secure. You better do the providing. And then you start to see in people's lives all these decisions being made. But the root of it is, do you actually know under grace that you are provided for forever? Not just provided for in the sense of just needs met, but the God that we know and the Jesus that we know is one that wants to abundantly bless you. Amen? Amen. Now, don't get churlish about this, because here's what I think. I think you have to watch out for a couple of teachings that are out there. And I'm just going to go for it. There's teaching there, and people say it's grace, and it's no such thing. Those things are, number one, you don't need to belong to a church. Actually, let me tell you something. The church, the body of Christ, is not on the edge of anything. It is God's heart, Jesus' heart, for the world. The local church is the hope for the world. It's not, and there's no other plan B. Go and read the word. That's not my opinion as a pastor. That's what the word says. He actually says, you know, did we do this earlier in the year? It's vaguely familiar. Yes, we did, didn't we? Like, the church is not peripheral. All right, the world's peripheral to what the church, I mean, God's whole plan, Jesus is coming back for what? He's coming back for his church. We believe in the church. We believe that you're better off planted in the church, according to Psalm 92, because if you're in the church, you're going to flourish. And do not believe the lie that you will do just as well outside the church. I have never met anyone who does. For all the heartache and pain and frustration at doing life together, you will never flourish outside of the body of God's people. God, yes, yeah. The other thing as well is, under grace, you don't need to tithe. And I'm going to talk about that today. And I will be amazed, all right? The last time we did this, we managed to clear out about 30 people from this church. Can anyone remember that Sunday morning? Holy good Lord above. It was a cracker, all right? But what's interesting about it is, think about this. Where will the enemy put the biggest distraction, the biggest confusion, the biggest battle? Where? Around the things that are going to bring you the biggest life. Do you get that? So the enemy is not going to sort of go around the edges of your world going, it's fine, no, don't worry about it. He's going to go headlong in, and he's going to go straight into the bits of you that the Lord has said. Here's the irony for me. In the world today and in the church, the biggest pressure that people have outside of their health is money and provision. Isn't that right? It's the thing that consumes us. It takes up our heart. It takes up our mind. It takes, and so many decisions made out of that need to be known, need to be looked after. So many people, it's whether it's in the world or in the church. So what does the enemy do? The gospel of grace comes. And all of a sudden, the whole host of the law and religion points the fingers at all the distortions that we see. Well, look at your man, he wants a jet, and look at, you know, God wants you rich and all this, and totally misses the point. And what we're doing is then, we're talking about the issues which are not the issue. The real issue is, who is Jesus? What has he done? And what does his gospel mean for you? Because I'm telling you this, you know why the enemy comes against this teaching? It's because the Lord has designed and wants his church to be prosperous and blessed. Why? Because then it can do something for his gospel across the world. So what does the enemy do? Come straight against it. And then you have Christians turning in on themselves, going, oh, well, brother, oh, you're like some kind of Belfast Benny Hinn. You know what I mean? Wise up. All right. You know, I was going to do it, just going to have an offering here for my new jet. No, that's a distortion. And if you buy the distortion without stopping, that's why I said last week, get alongside with the Lord. Because when you don't get alongside with the Lord, everything else fills colors in the page. What people think, what you read on the interweb, what Facebook says, what opinion is, what does the Lord reveal to you about who he is and what he does? Because I'm telling you now, there'll be a lot of things in your life where you want to change the fruit, you want to change the outcome, but if you get to the root, there's a big drive in you to be secure. A big drive. And what we do know in our heads is that Jesus said that you don't need to worry about a thing, because not only has he provided for today, that every day for you there is blessing and abundance. Okay? Yeah, we all, amen. So, does that make sense? Okay, so how do we step into it? That's the word of grace. Now, what I've been saying to you is, I actually believe this very strongly in my spirit for you and for me. It is time not just to receive, as we keep receiving grace, to then mix it with faith and step into it. When the Lord said to Joshua about going into the promised land, he didn't say, there's the promised land, now sit here and receive it. He said, go and walk into it. And what did Joshua go? Oh, he had shown great courage many years before, a whole generation before, with him and Caleb, the spies going into the land. But the Lord says to him in Joshua 1, don't be afraid. Do not fear. Why? Because the Lord knows that you will be afraid. It's okay, but remember I said feeling is not faith. Faith is the gift of God put in you to respond to what grace has done. That is your choice. That's a choice that you make. It is not how you feel about it. All right? Because your feelings will go, I don't know about you, sometimes I don't know whether I'm stuffed or mounted. Anybody? Up and down like a fiddler's elbow. No? Mm-hmm. Probably maybe don't want to hear that from the front, but it's the truth. Even in the course of a day, it can go like that. All right? And anyone who doesn't understand that, have some children or borrow mine. All right? You'll soon find out. Penny will probably say, just be married to him for a day, and you'll know all about it. Who said that? You might think you get away with it, but we've got you on camera. All right? So what I'm saying is don't be distracted this morning. I'm going to probably split this over 2 weeks, but I want to help you because there's so much grace in this. But what you're going to have to do is step into some faith. You're going to have to almost like, you know, this thing of don't be like kids. Don't think, and do you know what kids do? I need to be careful because one of mine is listening right now. But what kids do is they're very good. And actually, kids do it kind of almost like as rote. We are learned in it and a bit more nuanced, but as adults, we do the same thing. We quickly make excuses for that which seems difficult. Isn't that right? Because our feelings go, this is too hard. That's why you can never, you never accessed grace in the first point by how you felt about it. You accessed it by faith. Faith is believing, pistis, the word in Greek, to be convinced of Jesus and who he is and what he's done. And as you received your salvation that way, so keep walking this way. And if you felt pressure over your money, and here's what I'll say is, it's not even over money, because you might have money in the bank, and the amount of money you have is completely irrelevant, all right? It's completely irrelevant. It's about heart space. Because some people have more than others, but they still live their lives with this drive on the inside of them and this weight on them going, and normally driven by, well, what's the future going to be like? Yeah? Okay. So what does the Lord say about that? How's he going to help us? There is a ton of scripture here this morning, and I make no excuses for that. So what you might want to do is you might want to just write this down and write these words down. We will do this in our life groups as well, but I wanted to do it from the front very quickly. Let me get through just some of it. This is not now, let me just be absolutely clear. I am utterly convinced that it's the heart of God for his people to be prospered in every way. That's what shalom means. When even from the Old Testament under the law, shalom meant wholeness. And salvation, whenever Jesus said this is the day of salvation, soteria in Greek in the New Testament, it was the same thing, wholeness in every way, body, soul, and spirit. That's why I love the gospel of grace. It's not about being materialistic. That's the distraction. The spirit of the age goes, that's materialism, dump it. All right? Don't be distracted. Listen to what the Lord says. And you know what? There's a thing as well. Like, let's just be, this whole thing at the minute about, you know, money is bad. Even the look at the political discourse, right? Right now, even in the UK, one particular side coming out and going, there's people with money, essentially. Oh, they're bad. They're not. That's nonsense. Right? It's absolute nonsense. Money's not bad. I mean, actually, Jesus actually will say that it's unrighteous. I'm going to show you that, all right? But that's why tithing really matters. But people with money are not bad. Do you know what? Give me somebody with money who has a heart for Jesus and the kingdom of God. I mean that. Yeah. Right? Awful handy in the 21st century when you want to put something online to invite people to come and hear the message. Yeah. I can't go to Facebook and say, do you know what? We're really nice people. I've got to go to Facebook and say, we've got the money to provide for this. Okay, can you let people know that they can come here and hear about the gospel of grace? All right? Now, so don't be snottery about it. We need it. Okay? But we don't need to live under that strongly, and all the things. We don't need to live under it. We need to learn how, under grace, to receive it and flow in financial prosperity. Because it's one of the biggest pressures that I see. People making stupid decisions. And if we pull it right back, what's really going on? What's the real issue here? Do you know that you're secure or not? All right? I haven't even started my talk this morning. This is just a mad preamble. But are you ready to receive the word? Okay. So in Deuteronomy 8, chapters 12 to 14. We'll go from verses 12 to 14. Let's just say this. Otherwise, when you eat and you're satisfied, this is the Lord talking. When you build fine houses and you settle down, When your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and your gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud. Can I just say this? Under law, I see some people talk about grace and they talk about the fullness of the gospel, particularly when it comes to money, and they point the finger. I think the proudest people I've ever seen under law are under law because they go, it was me that did it. Right? Look what I've done. Now have a look at what the Lord says about this. Then your heart will become proud and you'll forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He goes on then in verse 17 to say, you may say to yourself, my power, my strength, and my hands have produced this wealth for me. Look how good I am. I see this in the, you know, it's like, Lord, you didn't provide it. Look what I did. I'm smart. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. I'm productive. I've had an idea, all the rest of it. Aren't I really good? And the Lord says, but remember me, because it's me who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And in doing that, I confirm my covenant. My covenant with you is confirmed whenever you remember that everything you have, every idea, every bit of strength in your body today to get onto your feet and even walk into this church was given to you by God as a gift. Do you get that? So let's not kid ourselves. If you're smarter than the average bear, baby, all right? Good on you. The Lord did that for you for the purpose of the gospel. Right? If you are not academically bright, different kinds of smart. I'm not saying smart doesn't mean you're good with books, right? My dad is brilliantly smart with his hands, can do stuff that I could never do, all right? But if the Lord blessed you that way, why? For the purpose of the gospel. It's all going to come back to the gospel and using it for the Lord. So don't worry, don't compare, and don't think that you have something that other people don't. Everything is on loan to you, gifted to you by the Lord for the purpose of stewarding it well for the gospel. Every single thing. All right? Now, if you remember that with money, all right, it all comes from him and your power to create it is all from him. Right? God's word says that he will give you the ability. He'll give you it to actually create the money that you need, not for your glory and to be materialistic and buy into the spirit of the age, but for the gospel. All right? For his glory to establish his covenant. I actually believe this. I believe that even God's original plan with Israel, if you remember, was that they would be lifted up as a nation so that all the nations of the world would look at them and go, what is going on there? They rested one day. Remember Sabbath? It's like in those days you had to work seven, but the Lord said, you'll have enough in six and you'll be so blessed that the nations of the world will turn around and go, how on earth did you do that? Well, it wasn't about me. It was about God. All right? Do you not think the world today is looking for people who live holy? Holy. And they're wanting to go, how on earth do you do that? You don't think that people are tired out there, carrying the weight, building their careers, knocking themselves sideways, you know, and us going, actually, this is about the glory of grace in our lives, and it's for his glory, because it all came from him anyway. I want to throw that out to you, but let's go, and I want to tell you this story, because this is where tithing sits in the middle of it. So tithing is actually for your good, it's for your benefit. And let me just get into it. Hebrews 5:9, this is all before the law was ever written. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation. This is Jesus, to all who obey him, called by God as a high priest, listen, according to the order of Melchizedek. This is where you go, holy smokes, of whom we have much to say and it's hard to explain. You better believe it. And since then you've become dull of hearing. Now what we see here is Jesus, the one who gives you the ability, the one who gives you everything you need to provide, all right, for your life in abundance is from this order according to the word of God as Melchizedek. Now, the Bible does say this is hard. So what I'm going to say to you is this is why you can't think like kids. And this is why you can't make excuses for yourself just to switch off. You've got to get into the word and eat the meat of it. This is not drinking milk. This is starting to eat some solid food this morning, all right? But I think you're up for it. I think you're good for it. It says, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, who was he? He was a man who lived in the times of the Old Testament. Now, Jesus' priesthood, the line that Jesus comes from, is this order of Melchizedek. It was not the Levitical line. The Levitical line of the priests was from the law. And we're told here that Jesus' line came from Melchizedek. Now, we first meet him. In fact, he's mentioned it through the book of Hebrews. But the first words uttered by Melchizedek, it's very interesting, were only blessing. No curses. You know, under the law, under the Levites, that priesthood, it's you're blessed if you do well, you're cursed if you don't. But under the order of Melchizedek, what you have is you are blessed. So he only ever speaks blessing. Do you want to read it here? In Genesis 14:18, then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed by Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. This is El Elyon. I'm going to explain that in a moment. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Now, it's the only account we have in the Old Testament of Melchizedek. It's the first time we hear. Remember, the law of first mention in Scripture is really important. It's El Elyon, God the Most High, God the Possessor. So this is God possessing everything that you need. This is the first time that it's mentioned. Do you understand that? So you got to prick up your ears and go, El Elyon. Of all the names of God that could have been used at this moment, the Lord wrote, El Elyon, the Lord who possesses. The Lord who owns and possesses. Has it all in his hand. You get that? Everyone saying yes? Okay. So Melchizedek, what happens here? This was in context. He comes out. Abraham has just fought a battle against four kings, right? And he's tired and he's hungry. He has 318 men. He hears about his nephew Lot. He goes then to fight the kings who have taken. And he's on his way back after having a great victory. Now, the thing is, we hear that and we go, yeah, he would have been dog tired. You know that? He would have been exhausted. You don't fight battles. These were battles with, you know, men with swords beating lumps out of each other, all right? And carrying stuff. And then they win all, you know, they win the battle. So they're carrying all the loot behind them. They're bringing it back. He's dead tired and exhausted than his men would have been. It's really interesting. I don't know if you ever thought about this. I think today people are tired with the weight of provision on their shoulders. I think they are. And this is why the Word of God brings such life. I think that most people, there's a lot of people who love their work. There's a lot of people who love what they do. I'm not saying that it's all just really tough. Sometimes when I go and I'm working in my business, I kind of enjoy it, right? Actually, it's good fun. But I do get tired. You know the thing that tires me sometimes? It's not the work. It's the thinking for me. Let me just be really honest. Going, what's it going to be like for me in 10 years? I've got kids to go through university. I've got two girls. I'm going to get married, right? What about pension? What about all that stuff? Does that make any sense? Yeah. I'm going to pass the hat around in a minute, so don't worry. I'm just trying to... The stirring music was meant to play at this point with pictures of my children flashing behind. A bin. Get that big bin up in the lift. You know what I mean? And we'll do what they used to do in the martyrs. I'll have a silent offering. What that meant was, right, it wasn't that you didn't talk. It was only notes went in. I don't want any clanging. Silent offering to be had. We should bring that back. So we're going to have a silent offering for... silent offering. Love it. Yeah, so just imagine Sophie's wee face. But that's sometimes been the stuff that's kept me up at nights. I don't think I'm any different to anybody else. What about if the work dries up? What about, what if, a million what ifs? Anybody? Okay. And here's the Lord at the very start. That's why I'm taking this slow, because I really wanted to capture your heart, because this will change so much. This is grace, like in technicolor. At the moment where Abraham is coming back, right, and he's tired from the battle. And actually, it was like he went out to fight. He had, you know... Stuff's been revealed to him in Genesis 12 about you're a father of many nations. He believed, and it was according to his righteousness that he was, his faith, that he was made righteous. All that stuff's happened. And here he's come back from the battle and he's tired. It wasn't even like he was doing the wrong stuff. He was just, and Jesus, here's what we believe about Melchizedek, all right? That this is an incarnate appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. Most people will say that. And what's the first thing that he brings, right? What is the first thing that he brings to Abraham who's tired from the battle? Bread and wine. This is a picture of whenever you're tired, this is El Elyon, the one who possesses it all. This is why we take communion every week, folks. All right? It's not done as a ritual. It's done as a visual reminder and a step of faith to go, let me have Jesus at the center. When I'm tired, when I'm weary from the battle, the first thing that Jesus does is he comes and he gives life. Do you get that? That's why we believe in taking communion. That's why we believe in taking it in our homes. That's why we've been talking about it more and more. That's why the Lord's put an emphasis on it around the world. And it's not legalistic. It's that sense of, in the first bit, let me read it. Genesis 14, then Melchizedek, the king of Salem. Salem is the old word for Jerusalem. Okay, Shalom brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God, the Most High. And he blessed him and he said, blessed. The first word he says is blessed by Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. Now, what happens is when you have Jesus at the center, when you are receiving righteousness, when you're receiving wholeness, when you're receiving fullness, when you're eating of Jesus and his finished work, what was the response? Now, there was no law in this. This is 430 years before the law is given on Sinai. So when you see a man who is operating in faith, what is his first response to Jesus coming to him and saying, let me bring you life and righteousness. Let me bring you healing. He says he gives a tithe, maser. His response is not compulsion. His response is not guilt. All the things that the church has done with money. The response is not do this and get, because the law was not given. This was not the context of the law. Hundreds of years before, it was like, when I see Jesus, my heart's response is to give back. Do you even find that in your own relationships? You know when somebody does something for you, right? Is your heart's response not to go, I want to bless you back? That's how you know you love, right? Now, sometimes because we'll guilt it, you know, well, flip me, I better do the vacuuming because, you know, if I walk in and see Penny ironing the shirts, right? It would be very silly of me just to sit down and go, any chance of sticking the kettle on, love? Right? What do we normally do, men? We normally make ourselves busy, right? Doing things, right or wrong. Some of you are looking at me, don't be such a pansy. No way. I sit down and say, get the kettle on. No, we don't. I mean, we do it because we love our wives, right? We see them working hard, and so our thing is to serve. Well, it should be, can I just say? All right? If you're under law, you'll probably go, well, you should do that because. Under, you know, the law won't help you to love your wife. It'll tell you not to commit adultery, but it won't tell you to love her. Only the grace of God in your heart will tell you to love your wife. Show you how to love your wife. All right? That's why you receive grace now. Porn should be that there's love. But I know in my life, right, when somebody does something for me, there's something for me, there's something in me that goes, can I give back, right? Or let me bless back. It's kind of like a normal response. And it's not legalistic. It's not pushy. It's just what we see here. He gave him a master of all. Eleon. So you have the one who possesses it all. Every bit of your provision and every bit of your need has already been met under the gospel of grace today and forever. Do you understand that? And what we do is we say, that's grace. Now, in faith, I need to exercise and step into it. Because I can stand here on the other side of the Jordan at the water's edge, all right, with my eyes fixed on you, but he says, cross the river and get in. That's faith to go, you said it, I'm going to step into it. You sang it this morning, right? Now, let me just go. Is this okay? Now, just in the same way, like we take communion, people say, well, is this just kind of legalistic and ritualistic, right? If you consider communion as an act that you have to religiously follow than a gift that you receive, you know, then that's just legalism in your heart. So when Melchizedek, Jesus comes to Abraham, what he does is he gives him a picture of the finished work. Completely righteous, completely forgiven. And the bread, I don't want to teach it, but you're all going, yeah, we get what the bread means, health, wholeness, fullness. The work of the cross in those two things. Everything that you need, because in the righteousness of the blood of Christ in your life, because you're righteous, it means you're acceptable, so that everything in heaven is now yours. Do you get that? Hebrew grace, hey, window, open window to heaven. Remember that? Right? That's what the blood of Jesus does for you. Opens that window up so you can see right through to the fullness of heaven for you. So that's what Jesus is bringing out to him in the middle of his tiredness. El Eleon, the one who possesses it all, gives. Jesus, our God, is a giver. You know what the problem fundamentally underneath this, and why people get under pressure for money and make silly decisions in their life about what they do and how they do it, is because fundamentally underneath it all, they believe that they don't really have a trust that God is a giver. They think he's going to try and take away. So they hold on tight. And here you have, at the very beginning, Eleon, the one who possesses it all, giving. Giving. He's not trying to make, he's not a miserly God trying to take from you. He's a good, loving Father who's trying to lead you into an experience of the grace that he has provided for you. Amen? Yeah. Holy smokes. Is this all right? Yeah. Are you enjoying it? Yeah. It'll bring you life. It will bring you life. I love this stuff. Do you know why? Because all through our lives, Penny and I, from the very beginning, Penny actually really helped me with this. From right back to our early days of courting and all that sort of stuff. I used to feel really condemned when I was around her because, you know, she got saved, actually. You know, she encountered Jesus again through me and all the rest, but then she just kind of took off, you know, when we were sort of living in France at university. And she was almost like so diligent to go, Lord, even as a student. She didn't wait at any time. As a student, she was like, what's the Lord given to us, Andrew? Then how do we? And actually the whole tithing thing was a wee bit of irrelevant because it was always way more than what was prescribed, right? It was never about prescription. It was about the Lord's been so good to us. And the whole way through our lives, through good and through bad, all right? Can I just say this? This is testimony. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. There's been many things in our lives that have come and have gone. People, situations, all the rest of it. One thing that has been constant for us as a couple is that we have always held on to this revelation that Jesus comes to us first to give, and so our response is we give back. Can I just say this? We've never gone under. We've always paid our bills. We've never been taken to court. We're doing so well and so prospered in our business personally now than what we've ever done. Is that how clever I am? No, because there's people sitting here today who are way cleverer than me. It's about his goodness in my life. Me receiving grace and then using faith to step into it. And he's always been good. Always been good. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So don't sit back today and go, oh, it's just grace. I just want to see grace. Well, what faith is required to step into it? Let me just say this very quick. I'd probably say this. If you don't get this revelation today, then don't do it. But if you start to get the revelation of it, then listen to the Lord and go for it. But if there's something in you that's still afraid, then just, it's okay. There's no compulsion. There's no guilt. There's no shame. There's no law. All right? Absolutely none. Do you hear my heart in that? I don't want anyone walking out of here feeling guilty because there's no guilt under grace. Don't let your heart condemn you that way. But if you feel the Holy Spirit starting to convict, which is like, I'm leading you, and your feelings go, uh-oh, then take some faith and just step into it. All right? Do not confuse the two, your faith and your feeling. The Hebrew word for tithe, let me just give you some learning before I finish. I've gone way slower than what I wanted to do. Is that all right? Or should I just park it for next week? Half of it anyway? No? If not, you're all thinking about your chickens in the oven. That's what I'm just worried about. All right. I would say, just in the same way that I encourage you not to take communion as a religious act, don't tithe as a religious act. It will do you no good. Okay, do you hear me? Don't do it. But if there's something in your heart about there is more for me here, then listen and take a step of faith. If you don't take that step of faith when the Lord's leading, you'll end up going around the desert. Remember I said this in week one. But if you don't go where the Lord leads, and remember he's always trying to lead you into good. It's from grace to grace and glory to glory. He's never trying to lead you down a wrong path. So you've got to take that step. The Hebrew word here, whenever Jesus appears to Abraham and says, here is it all, the finished work is yours. So the first place where Jesus wants you is receiving. He wants to shepherd you to receive first everything that you need. All your worries taken care of, all your fears taken care of, all the anxiety taken care of for your future, for you and for your kids. All taken care of. And then he says that Abraham's response is maser. Is maser. It means a tithe in the Hebrew. Actually, when you look at what this word means, Pastor Prince teaches this stuff and it's absolutely phenomenal. Maser is the top word, the tithe. I'm not going to give you the Hebrew for it. But if you look at what's built in, what's the main bit of the word to tithe? Is that your provision and your prosperity and rich in the sense of being well provided for is actually found in the tithe. Isn't that incredible? The top one's an eye and the bottom one's not. So actually what happens is that, and this, can I just say, this plays with the world's order. This is where the spirit of the world goes, nonsense, they're manipulating you, it's all about money. Do you know what? Don't be distracted. The Lord is leading you into more of an experience of his grace. But it will not look like what the world's only option is. Look after yourself, make sure you're covered, do what you need to do, et cetera, carry it on your shoulders and see that other stuff. The distraction the enemy's brought has been, well, you don't need to do it under grace. It's all about the motive of your heart. Wrong. Absolute nonsense. Why has the enemy tried to get people away from this so much? Because actually all that you need is found in the tithe. Now, I'm going to explain that a little bit more. And if your heart goes, oh, don't do it under guilt, wait till the Lord reveals it. Or if he's starting to reveal it to you, then go with it. I have to keep saying that. Now, the High King of Solomon says in Genesis 14, I'm just going to do 5 more minutes, then I'm going to come on next week to finish this. Now, the High King of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abraham said to the King of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor, El Elyon, of heaven and earth, that I'll take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich, using the bottom word, all right? Aser. So what Abraham says is this. So Sodom comes along, and this is what's interesting, okay? You know, if you acknowledge that the Lord is the one who's the source of your wealth, the one who supplies life and health to you, right? I believe that you put yourself into a flow of grace. And what's interesting is Abraham says this. He says, I will not allow anyone to dare say that what I have in my life has come from anything other than God providing for me. I won't allow it. Does that make sense? So he says, I'm not going to take anything, any spoils, which has not come from this. So as I give, I know that, within my giving is the Lord blessing me back. And it will be no other way. That's simply what he means. So my act of faith with my money, actually, and money's the least. I'm just going to say this very quickly. You know, the actual bit of the money in Jesus' eyes is this is the least. I'm trying to give you wholeness. I'm giving you everything, right? And Abraham goes, well, if you give me everything, then I know that in my response to you, found in that, is everything that I need financially for my future. Does that make sense? And nobody's going to tell me any different, Abraham says. Nobody's going to be able to look at my life and go, well, you did it, or he did it, or I did it. It's going to be the Lord did it. I have a feeling that that kind of supernatural living is what the Lord has called us for in grace. I think the world is so tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired, number one, but also just working hard under the weight of their future provision and everything else. But it's going to take the people of God to have a supernatural revelation of El Elyon, the one who provides. And in receiving Jesus, let our heart's response be, as I give back to you for the sake of your gospel and your work and everything that you want to do in this world to reach more people, then in that, hidden in there almost, is everything that I need. Yeah. Isn't that bonkers? It's almost like the Lord's wrapped it. And there's the step of faith. There's the faith to go, okay, for me to step into this grace, I need to respond with faith and then believe that everything that I need is provided for. We've lived our lives that way. I feel confident enough today in one sense to go, my testimony is that the Lord has never, ever, ever, ever. You know, and we're not like, you know, I kind of laugh because the distraction about this will be, oh, he's talking about money, you know, kind of doing this, you know, like an internet meme. But actually, it's not about money, it's about freedom. Do you get that? I'm going to park this right now. I'm literally 30% through my talk from what I prepared. I hope that's okay. But the reason why I'm going to park it is I just want to finish by saying this. Let this sit in your heart this week. Because actually, it's not about the money, stupid. It's about something else. When we talk about freedom and wholeness, let's get the root of the thing that robs us the most of that. that wholeness. Remember, the biggest distraction is around, don't go to church, and if you're under grace, you don't need to tithe. Can I just say, I have never seen, I'm going to say never, it's a strong word. You know that in marriages, you're not allowed to say never and always. Those are the power words. Have you ever heard this? Remember Penny and I hearing this many years ago? Okay, so you're not allowed to say never, and you're not allowed to say always. And so Penny get really frustrated with me, and she would say, you very often will do this, or more often than not, I find myself in a position where you're doing this. But more often than not, let me put it this way. In the round, if you take a curve of distribution, I have never seen people who reject this teaching do really well. Now, you might go, I'm doing all right. Well, that's fine. What's your view of God and where he wants to take you? Because if you've just made it about you and I'm doing all right, Jack, you haven't caught the heart of Jesus, which is for the nation and beyond to come to hear grace. So the challenge in that, even for you, is to go, I'm good. I'm glad that you're doing good. What about all those people who haven't heard? How are we going to reach them, folks? How are we going to do it? What's it going to take? Are you going to wait for somebody else to do it, or are you going to step up into the call that God's called you for? And I've never seen people reject it. And people get really clever. They get almost like forensically involved with Scripture to give themselves a way out. All right? To go, oh, you don't need to. Let me give you a verse that says, under the grace of God, there's no compulsion. And I say, absolutely, there's never guilt under grace. If you're feeling guilt, don't do it. You're better off just sitting until the Lord shows you. He'll do you no good. But when the Lord does show you, step into it wholly. And do you know what the issue there for me is? It's not about the money, stupid, to use that good expression. It's about whenever Jesus has come to you, the one who possesses it all and has given you life, it's like, who do you really think he is then? That's the issue that he's trying to get to. He's really trying to get to that. That's really what's going on here. So there's freedom for you this week. Freedom that you haven't had. So don't think like kids. Don't make excuses. Step up, grow up, and say, Lord, I want to live, because we preach rest, don't we? We preach a life of rest, a life of fullness, a life of wholeness. That's what we believe. In Jesus' name. But don't be like a kid and think, well, whatever. Happen, whatever, que sera, it doesn't matter. No, that's what kids do. Let's take responsibility for ourselves under grace and say, Lord, I'm stepping in. As you show me, I'm you know, I might need to put my foot in the water. Remember he says at the very beginning of putting your foot in the Jordan, stand there. Let the water lap around your feet for a bit. It'll be cold and you'll be thinking, I can't go any further. Stand there, the battle's the Lord's. Keep your eyes on Jesus and the battle's his. Not your battle to provide, not your battle to look after yourself, his responsibility. Amen. It's not good to know. I get up tomorrow and go, it's his responsibility. He will do remarkable things. The first time Penny ever tithed, she was telling me this week because we're talking about it. She didn't have enough money, but she felt the Lord speak to her. This was when she was a student. And you go back, she had 100, she was so remarkably good with money, actually. She had £120 for the whole month, transport, food, heat, everything after her rent. And she felt the Lord speak to her about tithing. She was part of a church. And the first month, she was like, and she had literally, you mean she was living on cardboard, you know what I mean? She is a student in Sheffield, but she felt the Lord speak to her about her heart, about trust. So she did it. And this really challenged me when I was a student. And the very next day, she got a check for the exact same amount that she had tithed. God is remarkably creative in the way that he'll provide for you. We all long for those moments, don't we? And actually the thing is then to go, I actually don't want to live for those moments, can I be honest? I'd rather just live blessed than from miracle to miracle. So everything you need, LLAON says, it's hidden in this faith transaction. It's not about the money, it's about a heart connected to the Father. Amen.